Last week I made a statement that I'm going to probably make off and on for the next few weeks because it was the first time I made this statement. I think it's something that we need to build on. We spoke about the concept of trusting God and putting our weight down in God. And I said a statement to you last week where I said real rest is in real trust. You know, and if we're trusting him, real rest is in real trust. And we're trusting God, really, that's where the rest is. And we find ourselves when we're in the state of unrest. And we all get there. We all go, we'll go through it this afternoon, some of us, you know. And we go up, but that's when we need to kind of remind us we need to be walking in the real rest of what the word of the Lord has. And I just want to give you, to build on this thing today, on this special day, to rejoice with you. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to talk about the word. Put our affirmation up there, if you would. We're going to make the affirmation loudly, hold it up, because this is the foundation of everything we do. It's the foundation of everything we have. It's the foundation of our life. Let me hear you. Give it to me loud. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again loudly. This word is wise. It has everything to do. It is not. It is. And everybody said.
Amen.
That's, you sound good. I love listening to you say it. Be seated in Jesus' name if you would right now. If we don't make the noise that this word is the foundation of our life, believe me, the other side is going to be making all kinds of noises. I'm not talking about political sides. I'm talking about ideology side. We're no longer with an R and a D fight anymore. It is a fight of demon spirits. It's a fight against the demonic that is at war and that is ruling people. If you know, you want to see what demonic looks like, look. Yeah, turn on the news. Look at guys like in the World Economic Forum, Federation, Klaus Schwab. That's demonic right there. That's a demonic pedophile right there that has more say-so than the President of the United States, than all of Congress combined right now. There's a war going on, and if we don't do it, they're not going to do it. They're going to take that place right now. Pastor Kevin Jarrell says it this way. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will tell them not to. The world will tell them not to. We heard the story for many years, and it was a romantic sounding thing. It takes a village to do it. No, it doesn't. It takes the word of God. It takes a family. Some guy said, I have to homeschool because I've seen the village. I don't want them anywhere near my kids, he said right now. And that's really a strong story for us right now. But into all of this, even with the negativity that's going on, and we could sometimes we might spend a little too much time, but sometimes I do because there are not many people that do what I do that even talk about these things that we're talking about right now. I know that because of the communication I get, not just from this city, but out of this city right now. That people are hearing it and they're not ready to make some of these affirmations. God help us to be a sound. But there's one truth to remember in all of these things right now. We have an advantage, or I would say a blessing. There's a blessing of being a covenant child, even in the midst of the worst of news. I'm going to probably in the next few weeks talk about the benefits of your covenant walk in the culture today. Things that help you, the things that come right now. You have an advantage as a covenant kid, even among the worst news. It deals with your well-being. It deals with your sense of belonging. It deals with your heritage. It deals with your roots. It deals with the counsel in your spirit from the word and the counsel you receive. Also, as a covenant kid, you have a sense of future that is different. I'm really starting to work in some ideas right now when people really quickly want to come. Well, we don't need you people dictating policy. Why shouldn't we dictate policy? Because somebody is going to do it. Talk about artificial intelligence. They talk about things. You read some things. You try to write now on your text message right now on certain programs, and if you happen, your thumb slips, and you're trying to spell God, and you hit an I instead of the O, and you have G-I-D, GID, more times than not, it will not correct it even. It will leave it there, GID. And I don't know what GID is. I don't know what a GID is right now, but so let them do it. Well, who was the input in that intelligence? What did they put in those things? Who were the people that was loading that information? It's a concept of perspective right now. You have an on-duty advocate inside of you as the Holy Spirit works. But at the same time, we need constant coaching. I've come today to coach you. I've come, and by the way, and I said it last week, because and this continues in the whole theme, and it will even next week. Trusting God is a series of choices, okay? It's not a one-time walk down the altar, to the altar. It's not a one-time prayer. It's not, thank you, Jesus, bless me and all my own. It is an ongoing thing. Today, you are always in a constant drill as a covenant kid of trusting Jesus. You're trusting him. You're trusting him. Tomorrow, there'll be another, it is a series of choices that say, I am trusting in him. And today, I want to turn to a classic text. It is classic on so many levels. In fact, the problem is to keep me narrow-minded on this classic text, because I could take this text and go about 4 weeks and it would sound a little bit different. But today I want to go to this classic text because King David, in many ways, was like a coach. He was like we're all enamored right now with watching Coach Prime right now in Colorado. Oh God, I love him. He and Deion Sanders. What kind of job is he doing there? He loves God. He's a man. He loves God. He's saved. I'll tell you that right now. And he's breaking a little bit of the rules. He's a little bit unconventional. I can't wait to see him when the Board of Regents of Colorado University calls him in and he comes gliding in the door there. Man, he's been fun to watch. But a good coach is going to inspire, a good coach is going to affirm, and a good coach is going to speak perspective. You know, there are times that you say, well, I lost this game, but the perspective is you lost it on this error here. You didn't lose it because of this. You didn't lose it because of that. Something happened there. How many of you, all of life is perspective? And and psychologists will tell you that who you are is based on your life perspective, the things you experience, the environment you might have been raised in, or the things you walk through, or the people that you watch closely, or the people who have spoken into you. That really validates what I'm trying to say to you. We need people with the perspective of covenant people that are making laws. We're not asking people, you will do this or pray this way or you'll lose your head. That's what demonic stuff does. We're not building a law that if you do this, we're going to throw you off the top of a building. Demonic religion does those things. It is the goodness of God that leads people and draws people. So we need people with the proper... Our whole life, we don't think so, but every one of us, the decisions we make, the opinions we have, the things we like, the things we gravitate to, the things we gravitate away from are based on our perspectives. Let me talk perspective. Have you ever noticed that somebody who is in front of you driving slower is an idiot? Have you ever noticed that? Look at this idiot up here. Am I the only one? Am I the only non-Christian at times? There's reasons I don't drive a church van with the name on the side of it, all right? Am I the only one who's not a Christian? Look at this. That's all perspective right there. That's perspective right now. But if you're in traffic and somebody is weaving in and out and he passes you faster than you, he's a maniac. You ever notice that right there? He's a maniac. Look at this maniac. Look how this maniac... Idiot doesn't have his blinker on. And he's the idiot, but the guy going faster, he's the maniac. Perspective, isn't it? Nothing wrong with that. That's who we are. It's fine. Well, let me give you the perspective Hall of Fame scripture. Psalm 37, verse 1. Talk about a heritage. Talk about the concept of vindicating the righteous people. And also talking about the calamity that will befall the people who are wicked. Now, this has to be as topical as the newspaper today right now. And it really is. I promise you right now. David is my coach today. He's inspiring me. He's affirming me. But he's giving me perspective that's grounded on so many levels. Do not fret because of evildoers. I have trouble with this right now. I'm ticked off at evildoers. If God would just let me for just a little while, I can handle this for him. Do not fret because of evildoers. Who are the evildoers? Adversaries. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity. Why? Because let me just lovingly tell you, if you can get this perspective, the evildoers have a short shelf life. The evildoers will have a short shelf life. What do you mean? Verse 2, for they soon will be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. So action, you've heard the messages over and over, and I'm going to do another, I'll do 10 more before I leave this planet on these scriptures here. And we all do. When we read these things and we're speaking, especially to a young group, or maybe you're only going to speak one time, we've grabbed these words, the trust word, the dwell, the delight, the commit, the trust, the rest word. Okay, watch this. So trust in the Lord and do good. The old hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his way, what a wonder he sheds on our way. But while we do his good will, he abides with us still. And to all who will trust and obey, for there's no other. We sang it in Sunday school, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Remember singing as a little kid, had no clue of what it meant. But it's true. Trust in the Lord, do good. So dwell in the land, keep in the auspices where you know it's safe, covenant kids. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. That has a lot to do with your appetite. That has a lot to do with your interest. That has a lot of things to do of what you gravitate to and what you deem important in your life. We all face that. And what are we doing? We're finding out our real perspective when we look at this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a promise. That's a promise. If you're an older person, that's a promise to you. If you're a young man, that's a promise to you. If you're somebody who's known Jesus for a long time, or somebody that's relatively new, or somebody who knew Jesus a long time ago and had to go out and get a little goofy for a while, and all of a sudden you're back here and you're saying, Lord, I'm here. Lord, do something in my life. The promise is here. He will give you the desires of your heart. What a good word. And then he says it a little bit different. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Man, I wish I had time in each one of these words. Trust. Again, he brings the word trust. Why? Trust is the big thing. And there will not be real rest until there is real trust. Got it? And he says it again. So I think there's a reason for that emphasis there. And notice, and he will bring it to pass. I mean, he basically said the same thing, just a little bit different. Verse, and I love these he words. He will bring forth your righteousness, your right standing with him, and let everybody know as the light, and your justice as the noonday. So notice the trust word came before the rest word. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. How many of you have to work on that? The last part. And then he goes back to what he said in verse 1. Do not fret of him who prospers in his way because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. And again, it's all connected in the perspective. It's all in the perspective of what we're believing right now. And he uses this word again. Do not fret. It's the third time you've heard that in about four verses. Do not fret. Do not fret. Elbow somebody and say, do not fret. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And he goes back in verse 9 and he reiterates the last part of verse 1. Because in these first 9 verses, there's a theme there. There's a theme there. And in verse 9, he says, so remember this, for evildoers shall, that's a Bible word for certainly will. Evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they will inherit the earth. The other prophet said, if you wait on the Lord, our strength will be renewed. Move up a little further down in the passage. But there's so much, and my problem was keeping the focus on the word. Psalm 37, verse 22. For those blessed by him. By the way, that's his pronoun. For those blessed by him shall inherit. Stop right there. You could say it this way. For those who are blessed by him have been left in his will. He wants to give us something. He wants to put something in our hand. But those cursed by him will be cut off. Here's one we've said. I said it to Linda yesterday about something. Verse 23. The steps, by the way, steps are important. How many of you got those watches that count your steps? Never hear from Linda unless she goes 10,000 like that, and she's got that. And look at the fireworks, 10,000 there, and it's usually when I've been behind the desk all day. Steps are important. The steps of a good man. Now, good man doesn't mean I keep the laws and pay my taxes and help old ladies across the street. Good man, that is one who's good, who is standing before God, is honorable. And that's the goodness there right now. The steps of a good man are ordered, or in other words, established by the Lord. Our steps have been established. Young people need to know this. And he delights in his way. In other words, those steps are ordained to be in his way, in his path. In fact, the New Living Translation said, he delights in every details of their lives. Isn't that wonderful? The steps are ordered of God, and he delights in the details of every bit of our steps. Well, he's not going to hit the ball every morning, though he might fall. He won't utterly be cast down. Why? Because the loving Father is there, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So now here comes a perspective of experience. David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. And yet I got to tell you guys, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants, or King James, as you've heard so many years, his seed were begging for bread. But God, here's his perspective. Here is his perspective of God. He's ever merciful, and he lends, and his descendants are blessed. So depart from evil and do good, and dwell there, or dwell in this evermore. For the Lord loves justice, and does not, cannot, will not forsake, that means abandon, his saints. Who are his saints? His faithful ones. His godly ones, his holy ones. What does he say about his kids? I told you about the concept of covenant kids, the advantages we have even in this world. They are preserved forever. But the descendants, David keeps coming back to this theme over and over. The descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. And the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. This is good news. You know what else this is? This is good coaching. I can stand in this. I can stand on this, and I can walk this out. If I read these 29 verses of this word, I can stand in it, I can stand on it, I can walk it out. But the question for me is, at what point in my journey will I make the connection to walk in it, to stand on it, to see it through, to stay on the right course? Today I want to talk just in and out concepts, the qualities of a warrior. Well, the season is here, and everybody's talking about the warriors that's going on the field. The great, they called him the voice of God of NFL films. John Facenda used to say, Green Bay on the frozen tundra. He's got that great sound. They call him the voice of God. Today, I want to talk about the qualities of a warrior. And in the preparation, in the process of our walk, David's son picked up on the concept that his dad had set forth. Proverbs 4, he said it this way. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Now, this is really, really big. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Saw some video yesterday of somebody catching a pass, and he was too busy looking what was coming up behind him. He didn't get over the line. But in the run, you don't look back. You don't look back. Look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. This deals with focus. This is where your battle is right now. Keeping focus amidst the calamity right now. Next statement, ponder. What a strong word this is. Ponder means to prayerfully weigh, prayerfully consider, meditate on, look at the whole picture there. Ponder, remember I told you how important a path was? Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. See, the front truth about a path works as a warning, the front truth of what he's saying, as instruction, as advice from the voice of experience. The back truth of the concept of choosing the path speaks of a historical result. Case in point, David was saying, do these things up front. But then the back perspective of the path, he said, I was young, now I am old. Here is my perspective of what the path has been. So you not only have a front warning and perspective, but you have the perspective of an experience, the back part of it right now. Actually, I wrote it this way. The back truth of the path is a historic result that is a truthful autopsy of past history. the culmination of successive path, choices, and experience. It's a culmination there. You see this experience. Scripture has a lot to say about the path of our lives. Most of them are negative words. Really. Path of destruction, you hear. Crooked paths, rocky paths, smooth, evil paths, paths of the heart, path of life, path of death, path of faith, path of sinners, path of scoffers, path of unbelievers. Smooth paths, crooked paths. But I like the path of the just. I like also the path of the redeemed. I like the path of the righteous people. It's very important, the path that we choose. So Solomon, based on what the word that David said, you need to think about this. You need to ponder the path of your feet before you're getting ready to make a decision or make a reaction and make a move. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Today I want to talk to you about the qualities of a warrior. Let's talk a little football right now. On every team, who's the most important player? Quarterback. In your life, in your journey, in your whole experience, you are the quarterback of your life. You're a decision maker there. It's on you right now. Do you have what it takes? I'm asking you. We're waiting to see number four, how he does today. He's been one of Tyler's favorites for a long time. I think he's got the word of the Lord in his mouth, by the way. He's got the word of the Lord in his mouth, Derek Cardos. He's got the word of the Lord. But when they're grading a player, and think parallels when we're grading ourselves, they're looking at a player, their natural things they will look for. David Jeremiah is the premier football scout in America right now, the NFL Network. David Jeremiah, as a little boy, was in Sunday school, was at youth camp, sitting on the front row as his daddy, David Jeremiah, preached the word. David Jeremiah comes from an athletic family. I think it's his older sister was a basketball college coach for years. David Jeremiah was a bull in the basketball. So he had been around all these things. David Jeremiah, Daniel Jeremiah, I call him Daddy's David. When he laid out before the draft, he said, these are the areas when I evaluate a quarterback. Number one, I evaluate their poise, their accuracy, their decision-making, playmaking ability, mobility, arm strength, the ability to avoid pressure. Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network on evaluations. Do you have poise in the walk? Are you accurate? How's the decision-making going? How about the ability to elude the rush? You watch that little fella up there. Linda just loves him. She'd wrap him up, a little ball, take him home. The little fella in Kansas City, she just, don't you hit him. You leave him alone. She watches him. He's got eyes in the back of his head, and he moves, and he just steps up, and he's bought another 2 minutes. You know, I mean, can you do that right now? However, there's a very important thing I want to build on today. Based on the scripture, ponder the path, or let me say it this way, the placement of your feet. How important are your feet? How important are your feet? Ponder the path of your feet. I might not remember a lot of things, but I heard it over and over. Linda heard it over and over from my dad. You only have what? One set of feet. Take care of your feet. You don't give a flying rip about that when you're 13. But when you're 31, you start thinking about that, don't you? Ponder the path of your feet. How important are feet? It's all done by the feet. Some of y'all grew up watching those black and white movies, and you watch those dancing movies, and you watch Fred and Ginger dance together. And it was always about how great Fred was and how smooth he was. Finally, Ginger had had enough one day, and she said, let me tell you what, all I hear is about Fred, but she said, I want you to know. She said, I did it on high heels backwards, she said. I just want you to know that. How important are the feet? They're very, very important there. In the scouting report, there's another area where they talk about footwork. foot placement, balance because of the feet. He threw it, it was off balance. When he's off balance, there's a chance when he's off balance, the ball's not going to do that. It's going to do that. If he's off balance to a side, it's going to go that way. If he's off another way, ponder the placement and the path of your feet and let everything be established right now. Do you know throwing does not start with the arm? Throwing starts with the feet. Throwing starts with the feet. You want to be successful in your walk? It starts with the feet. You want to be successful in your passing? It starts with the feet. One scouting report said throwing starts with the feet. The quarterback position is played from the ground up. What a great line. The footwork of the quarterback is critical. Timing is everything. By the way, in this walk of with God, timing is everything. The walk is everything right now. The quarterback has to get the ball off while they're open. If he's too slow, if he's off balance, if the window closes, the wrong guy's going to get the ball. You can't do it without the quick, efficient, balanced on your feet. It has everything to do with your follow through. Feet have everything to do. Ponder the path of your feet, team. Ponder the path of your feet. Consider it. Is it founded on the rock? How's your balance? How's your balance? Got your tennis shoes on. It's always funny. Whenever Linda and Tyler are gone for a long time, he usually comes back home with a new pair of tennis shoes. Or she's got one. That's one of their things they do. They've got that. They ponder the path of your feet there. Heard the old story. Two guys were out in the jungle, and all of a sudden this lion started chasing them. And the lion was chasing them, and they're running, and they're feverish, and all of a sudden, the guy stops, and both of them stop together. So what are you doing? He went over there. He reached in his knapsack. He pulled out his tennis shoes. He put his tennis shoes on, and he said, "Yeah, what are you doing? You can't outrun this lion." He said, "I don't have to outrun the lion. I just have to outrun you," he said. Ponder the path of your feet. Let your ways be established. It's Black and Gold Sunday, isn't it? Paul. Another athlete, another coach, an obvious sports fan when you read his writing. He gave us the proper equipment, proper shoes. You have the right shoes. Remember, you only got one pair of feet. Do you realize in Ephesians 6, which is so fun, he gets to the point where he says, now here's a final word. Now, that's not really the final word, by the way, because he goes on after that. Is he a typical preacher? Final word. He said, be strong in the Lord. And be strong in the power of his might. That's Ephesians 6:10. All right, when you get a little further and you start reading the full armor of God, look at verse 13. I'm just going to pick up in the middle of it. And he says this again. He's already told him about the armor of God. Verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, it said, in the evil day. Having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. Have your waist girded with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now watch verse 15. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's verse number 15 right there. Now, he's laid all these things out, but he's reminded them about the feet being shod. Take on the shield of faith. Then he talks about the helmet, and he says it's the word of God. But I want to stop on the feet today. I think this is the important thing. Special attention was given to the feet. It's how you stand. Do you know that in the New Living Translation, chapter 6, verse 15 of Ephesians says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully, fully prepared. Stability, balance, strength, follow through. You can have all the equipment, but if you cannot stand and fight, if you cannot stand and compete, the other things don't matter. You've got to be able to stand tall, balanced. You watch some of those self-defense videos. If you've ever had any of those classes, some of us had over the years, you had certain classes. And what you do, it's not as much what you do with your arms and with your hand. It has a lot to do with your feet, the angles, the balance. Because the idea is to use the opponent's weight against them. And if you could get them just a minute to raise that foot for just a minute, they have one less foot to stand on. And that's when you see that. That's when you go boom. Hell sees us when here we are. We've been thrown back by circumstance, and there's been a pushback block, and all of a sudden we're back, and one foot comes up right there, and he's got you. Stability, balance, strength, and follow through are great, but we've got to have the equipment. Hebrews said it this way, therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down. This is Hebrews 12, verse 12. And the feeble knees, verse 13. Make straight paths for your feet. Make straight paths for your feet. Hebrews 12, 13. So that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Got a question for you today. The question has been asked all over. This sports is kind of the toy department of life. But if we could take this concept and apply it to our walk, to our equipment, to our preparation, decisions we make. The question comes to us today, are we game ready? Are we game ready? See, you can have the great draft analyst. You can have all the books. Al Dupuy, one of the great, great old men of the city for so many years. For so many years, he was the draft guy. He knew. You read some of those books and you look back and they talk about it even today. There have been ball players that couldn't miss. They couldn't miss. They had the physical ability, but they lacked that thing on the inside, whether it was a footwork, whether it was the ability to think clearly. Do you know that when Peyton Manning, you know, we watched that so close here from New Orleans all these years. Peyton Manning came out of Tennessee. There was another quarterback from Washington State, and they were evenly matched. Nobody could decide. I mean, all the experts, they're throwing. And it was almost a coin flip, and it was a known thing. Whoever you take, we're going to take the other one. And you go through this situation, all the experts. Peyton Manning is in Canton, Ohio today. The other guy didn't last 2 years in the NFL. So there is an intangible thing. So don't be so concerned. Don't be so concerned. Right now, if you look like something, maybe you're struggling a bit, just stay steady. Get your balance. Get founded on the word. Be strengthened right now. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your throwing be smooth after that. What a good word. In the personal scouting report, boy, I have a whole thing on scouting. I want to talk to you maybe one day about the personalities. But today in a report, they'll say, what is his weakness? What is his strength? I have to ask myself that. We all do if we want to get better. Is he coachable? Is he engaged? Well, I'm joining him this film study. This word, are you engaged? Are you engaged with the word? Does it encourage you? Does it turn you on? Does it inspire you? Can he perform up to this level? Does he have a football aptitude? I turn it to you. Do you have a word aptitude? I think that's what we shoot for. I have to shoot for that, a word aptitude. That means using the word as my guide. I must stay diligent. I must stay encouraged. I must stay engaged with it. Remember, it has everything to do with how the perspective of how we choose our path. In the process, you're going to have to ignore harassment. You're going to have to ignore fear. You're going to have to ignore ridicule. You're going to have to ignore fatigue. Like Nehemiah. See, as you can tell, we can go in so many directions here. We heard an opera singer, Jean Sibelius, yesterday. On the radio, she and I, it was the Metropolitan Opera. It just popped on, and I've been reading it. Talking about the critics. You're always going to have critics, and boy, they're really after all of us right now. But don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. She said it this way, pay no attention to what the critics say, because a statue has never been erected in honor of a critic. I did a message so many years ago, and I may go back and try to find it. I don't even know where it is today. The concept was, and just who are they anyway? Remember that as a kid? Well, they say, they're doing. We live in a time right now, some of you are grown adults, and you go, well, they said this, they. Somebody posted something or said something or things like that. Maybe it's some social, they this, they that. Don't ever worry about that right now. Again, the perspective of the one evaluating the talent has a lot to tell you. Think about that. The perspective of the one evaluating the talent has a lot. What does he know? What is his experience? What is his bias? What has been put in him? He's going to be seeing through his eyes, his perspective eyes. He's either an idiot or a maniac. But the perspective is there right now. Who's the evaluator? It's been fun to look back. He was short. He was pretty good. Good college career. Here's the scouting report on Drew Brees. He tends to sidearm his passes if he's going to go deep. He lacks accuracy and he lacks touch on his long throws. He only seems comfortable in the short, immediate passing attack. He does not possess the ideal height that you would look for in a pro passer, though he does, his ability to scan the field will help him compensate in this area. He will improvise and run when the passing lanes are clogged, but he tends to run through defenders rather than trying to avoid them. He needs to avoid the unnecessary punishment. He had to have shoulder surgery for some of that. But if he'd have read that, he's going to Canton the next time it's up. The question is, are we game ready? So what am I going to give you right now? I go back to Solomon's word, but I'm going to read it in the King James. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Focus. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established, and you will complete the throw. And I leave you, and although our current black and gold may falter, know this, I've read it for you, Psalm 37. According to him and his perspective of you, the Lord will not forsake his saints. Let your ways be established, and in Jesus' name we say, amen. I thought you'd do who dat. In Jesus' name.